אם תחנה עליי מחנה, לא יירא ליבי, לא יירא ליבי, לא יירא ליבי. אם תחנה עליי מחנה, לא יירא ליבי, לא יירא ליבי, לא יירא ליבי. אם תקום עליי מלחמה,
קטע הכנה לשיעור מתוך ספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
Preparation passage for the lesson from the article of בעל הסולם, 600,000 souls. And they said, all sons of Israel are sons of kings. Also, that a king that dies, all of Israel are worthy for kingship. This is a great secret, for in all previous generations, which were but a preparation for Malchut, special kelim were required for appointment of their judges, such as the souls of Moses and Shmuel, Samuel. But the final purpose depends on the whole of Israel, since when a tiny part of a tiny spark is missing, the end will not be able to appear. Hence, all of Israel are worthy of kingship. Since everyone is equal, is this true discernment? For this reason, there is no special kli for drawing that perfection, but anyone who cleanses and purifies his soul will be worthy of extending the revelation of Malchut to the world, will literally be called King David. This is the meaning of David, King of Israel. It is needed alive, for he has not died at all. His kli is within each and every soul from Israel. This is not the case with the soul of Moses, which is found only in the wise disciples in the generation, as well as in the prophets and priests. This is the meaning of, at the time of the Messiah, chutzpah, impudence, will melt, and the child shall behave insolently against the age, and the base against the honorable. This means that even an ignoble child will dare to extend his kingship to the world, as though he were one of the elders in the honorable in the generation. Should the ignoble too, one who had only lowly and base soul at its root, aim his heart and purify his deeds to become worthy, he will be rewarded with extending the whole world, the whole of the soul of a holy nation in his soul, with all the wonders that the holy nation has tasted thus far. This is because they were all but preparations for his wholeness. Hence, even that a particular soul must taste everything, and he will buy his world in an hour, due to the ability of the generation to extend the crown of his kingship, which contains everything. This is the meaning of their words, even if one came before his master in complete repentance, the Messiah King would come at once. This means that whoever it was, even if it were only one man in a generation who was rewarded with extending that soul by himself, he will be able to reward his whole generation, since all who are obliged exempt the public through their duty, and he can do much praying and hold his own until he rewards his entire generation. And the reason is an ointment's concern to the correction of the kelim and portrayal of all the kelim as equal, since any division between them is only in their chabad. By the by their measures, hence from the minister who sees the king's face to the one who sits behind the grindstone. All are equal servants in bringing back the old glory, and in that there are no degrees between one another.
In this article of 600,000 souls, Bala Sulam explains to us the structure of the soul, that in its integral whole form, in the interdependency that all the parts have towards one another, they're not parts, it's a whole structure. Only in our eyes, our ego, our corruption is showing us this puzzle as dispersed, as broken, with the pieces far away from one another. But in truth, we are all in one wondrous system, which is a single soul called Adam. To begin with, it is Adam HaRishon, in the structure that the Creator created, and we need to reach that same structure, that is the feeling, the awareness of that structure, but on our behalf. So when we reach it, we don't reach the form of Adam HaRishon again, it is the form of Adam, because it is 620 times bigger, more understanding, feeling the Creator in him. And because all the parts depend on one another, they are connected to one another, then each one is correcting everyone. It is impossible for a single part to be corrected without it being corrected through its integration with all the other parts until they all respond to it and integrate with it in a way that it becomes whole only on the condition that the entire structure is whole. In this structure, there are roles. But these roles are also through mutual integration, mingling, that we have, like the prophets and Moses being the first of them, and the priests, the Levites. These are the different roles or functions, the spiritual degrees, in terms of their importance of the in the system. The Kabbalists of all the generations that have reached the attainment of that one whole soul and have integrated with it. But as we know, this hitkalelut, this integration or mixing, has stages 2000, 2000, and 2000, 125 degrees. That have to go through each and every one. So it turns out that from the entire structure, as much as we can elaborate and talk about it, it turns out that each one must be corrected, because everyone will be corrected. That is only on the condition that each one goes and corrects everyone other than himself. By that, he corrects himself. And that should be his intention, that in order to correct everyone, he must subjugate himself before everyone. That is his work, by caring for them, by agreement, by annulment on the one hand. On the other hand, he has to lift himself, elevate himself above everyone, to say that they all depend on him. As it says, the Creator has created me, has chosen me. So his part, no one else can correct it. And someone, as he says here, who's sitting behind the grindstones, or it could be a prince, it doesn't matter. Each one has his own unique part, and it might be high or low, but we know also that there is an inverse relation between the lights and the vessels. And in the collective kli, all the parts are at least equal in their importance,
with respect to the end of correction. If one part is not corrected, then its integration in all the other parts are not corrected, then the work of all these other parts that are not corrected because of that one, they too cannot correct themselves in terms of their integration in all the other parts in the corrected where, and then it goes on there. So it's like a chain reaction. And it turns out that from one crumb that's not corrected, everyone, everything is not corrected. So all of the work until the generation of the Messiah is the work of preparation. And in that, there is a difference between the souls in the way that they get their role. There are high souls that have a unique soul, a unique role in each generation until all the souls in general reach the time of the Messiah. Baal Sulam writes that we are already at the time of the Messiah from 100 years ago. We have started this era. And then he also says that all of us have reached a state where all of us are a single soul, a single family. And therefore, what we have to do is to carry out actions of the time of the Messiah. It's not that we sit and wait or cry out, where is the Messiah? Or hang our hopes on some miracle coming from the heavens. There are no miracles. There is only a single miracle, which is the spark that awakens in a person, and all the rest depends on man's exertion, on his work, and on that there is no concession on behalf of the upper system. We have to draw the reforming light and to correct the integration of everyone in everyone. Therefore, to our issue, this is expressed through dissemination, through all the different possibilities that are given to us. Because this is actually the act of correction, the actual realistic act of correction that we can carry out. Therefore, we must not avoid it. We need to feel that all of our study, all of the structure that we have built, it is all only in order to continue the dissemination of the method of correction, the method of connection. This is actually all of our work by which we will merit seeing the corrected soul. We will reach the form of Adam HaRishon. And then we will discover what it means, the height of 600,000 souls, that soul, that Malchut. And as it says here, that all of Israel are worthy of Malchut, of kingship, meaning they can integrate with Malchut of Atzilut, and they rise with her, in her, to the height of Gao of Atzilut, which is called 600,000. Or, as we say, 620 times more. Or from Nefesh of Nefesh of Nefesh to Naran Chai, to the complete Naran Chai. This is our work. And the main thing is not to forget that Hitkalelut, mingling or integration, is the work, the execution or implementation of the correction, the actual implementation. Hitkalelut, this is what we do by mingling with the people, as it says, I dwell within my people. There we find our correction and our spiritual vessel. And certainly do not forget that this means caring, prolonged caring. And here there are these degrees of the still vegetative animated speaking, that even the one who is sitting behind the grindstones is as important as the prince, the son of the king. But those who are at the degree of the development of the people, the masses, they have a great intensity of billions of people, and that's how it is, like in a pyramid. At the vegetative degree, it's less, at the anima degree, even less, and at the speaking degree, even less. So accordingly, you need to understand that all in all, we are meaning the whole world, all people, and there in them there are such and such, all the different kinds. Later it will be clarified. You cannot see it immediately. We see how much people are later turned on, and then they chill down, how much they go in the right, subtle way, and then suddenly they have these deflections, and they need to overcome or in some direction. So it's a prolonged caring, just like with children, until they grow up. So it is also with them. And don't forget that specifically by this caring, thanks to it, we ourselves are correcting ourselves and are growing. Therefore, the attainment of the one soul through dissemination, this is our entire destiny. Any questions? Good morning. Look, the group here, everybody that's here, are doing a lot of efforts. I don't think there's any other group that exists that puts such efforts in dissemination. And also, I'm trying as much as I can. But I meet with people, and I'm trying to explain, and it's so difficult for them. I don't want to say I'm despaired, but it's so hard to explain to people what we're trying to do, even in a little minor way. That
why? If I come to a person and he has a happy face or a sad face, and I mingle, I integrate with him, in a human way, and I start from a point, from the level where he is, with some joy or some trouble or some observation or some perspective about life, I as if nullify myself towards him. I flow along with him. Why? From that, when I am with him together, I cannot begin to open him up. It is an art that you can learn.
Well, yesterday I talked to somebody, a friend, not a close friend, but somebody I know, and I try to explain it, and he tells me, look, I'm a good person, I'm not jealous of anybody, I don't want anything from anybody, I feel good with where I am. That's what I am. So what are you trying to explain to me?
No, I'm not trying to explain anything. I just want to join you. I want to feel that you feel good, and you will feel that I feel good, and then both of us will feel even better. I don't know. I'll tell you. There is oviyut, coarseness that comes from lack of light, and there is oviyut that awakens in somebody from a surplus of light. So after you're together with somebody, if you integrate with him, you can continue and go with him to any direction. It's not true. The fact that he says that I don't need anything, everything is fine, thanks God, etc., etc., that's his defensive mechanism. That is his defense. He doesn't want to open up the Pandora box where he has maybe many troubles, but he just shuts it in, doesn't feel it,
That's how it is with every one of us. We all have this. And we also know that there are some things that I can't open up. So I just lock them in, that's it. You think that only on the condition that he's crying, you have the possibility to approach him? No. Actually, that's our problem, that we're waiting for troubles. Humanity will have problems. They'll feel bad, they'll cry, they won't know what to do. They'll be like little children who are crying, who don't know. And then we will come to them from above, you know, this kind of condensation. And then we will talk to them from above, and then we will tell you, all right, so you want us to finally help you? All right. God forbid. This is not coming from love. That's not coming from love. You don't, you know, you shouldn't wait for that. Everything bad that you are happening to, for it to happen to somebody, even for the sake of correction, that's not the right way. It has to come from love. From love. You want him to be better off. You want to bring him good. So the problem is the following. He's good. He feels good. But you see how many problems there are in the world, how much right next to you there are neighbors who don't feel good. How can it be that you feel good if they feel bad? Right? Even in your own street, just, you know, this way, that way, is it possible? I mean, look what is happening with the housing situation or the cost of living, prices going up. Look what's happening again with security. Again, we have problems in the north, etc. So the fact that you feel good, is that enough? That you are like a dog, you know, in some small, you know, shed with your bone, is that enough?
It's clear that if you come to somebody through the problems, it's easier to talk. I mean, if you try to explain to somebody that the people can perceive, they can understand the matter, but they still feel good. They don't want to listen too much. I don't want to listen.
They don't want to hear because you start telling them about the bad stuff. So don't take it to the direction of bad. Okay, don't awaken in them the bad that it's bad for the neighbor or in the street. Don't use that. Okay. Keep, you know, being with them with joy. However, if he's in joy, then you don't have a place, you know, points with which you can connect with him. There are no such contact points. That's what you think? I don't know. Usually, a person who is in joy, there is the possibility, I think a greater possibility, to carry him to some activity, to some situation. One who is in joy is willing to come out. He's actually willing to show his happiness outwardly. Well, invite me to talk to them. Let's see. Yes? We need to check. We need to see. I think that we have to really develop this approach. We need to maybe give such lessons, such workshops. Let's do it. Let's do it on Passover. Let's have a week in Passover of preparation for the exit from Egypt.
Chris Dawson from London is asking, is there a dissemination approach in Israel? Should that be equivalent to other countries?
What's the difference? You know, you're approaching people in order to make their lives better. We are now all over the world. Look what's happening. We don't yet see what is cooking beneath the surface all over the world. But again, we're going to go to such problems, such complications.
So there's no difference in terms of where a person is. All in all, we are approaching a person and explaining to him that only connection can be a salvation, a guarantee for safe, quiet, peaceful life. And this is required everywhere. The solution is the same solution. The question is only where it should be implemented first, where later. So they say that first the people of Israel should give an example. And the people of Israel is both in the spiritual sense and in the corporeal sense. In the spiritual sense, all of our groups belong to Israel, Israel, Yashar Kel. So they need to also, all of them, join that work. In the corporeal sense, the people of Israel are, well, at least those that are living here in Israel. And here we have to have a strike of dissemination, a strike of explanation, what it is that we need to do in order to guard ourselves. So you explain to them about security, safety, a better life. We see that nothing is changing for the better. Each and every year, you have the same problems. They're even greater. And both in terms of our lives and our daily lives, in economy, security, everything.
Sergei from Moscow is asking, does dissemination have to reach every person in the world?
Dissemination has to reach every person in the world, as we read here, that each and everyone has to take part in, to some extent in the correction of the world, because he is integrated with everyone. And each and everyone, to some extent, therefore, has to awaken towards connection with the others, at least a little bit, but it has to be that way. So our dissemination actually has to reach every corner, without any difference between people. It could be such and such and such, everything other than babies and people who are incapable of getting it mentally. But other than those, everyone. So if you have the opportunity to talk to whomever it is, it could be Nazis, it could be ultra-religious, engaged in something, doesn't matter. Nonetheless, there has to be some access to everyone without some excuse that this, not this, yes. Now, in the end, well, we need to advance gradually from the lighter to the heavier. That's always the way of the correction. But we have to see everyone that are in it in the end.
I see when I talk to people that in a direct conversation it's difficult to build an opinion. People do want to leave their house, be together, go for a run together, take care of the gardens together. It's things people are drawn to. The question is that enough? Because a lot of times you say, maybe we'll have a party together. Is that enough just to organize that party? Because there's always an impulse to push the ideology in there. Is having a party for people enough? Or you understand what? If I had to like have a party for, if you had to have a party for your neighbors, how would you organize it?
Look, according to my role, even 40 years ago, I didn't organize anything other than lectures in which I appeared. I had several people who, next to these lectures, they would organize some refreshments, a little bit of music, songs. Music, songs, snacks, you know, cakes, something to drink, fruits, I remember. And that's it. So usually it was a lecture and then some light refreshment and some music, singing. I didn't really take care of it in such a way. Or home lectures, I did those. But also for those, I would come for the conversation, a little bit of conversation, questions and answers, and along with that, you know, coffee and cake. Back then, it was different times. This was following Rabash. Before that, or during the times of Rabash, I just had lectures without any refreshments or anything. I was there by myself, or sometimes with somebody. These are all the activities. Well, how, in what way to organize things, home lectures or sitting outside on the lawn or dancing, songs with children, with families? Really, I don't know about this, but if you're asking the following, if what we organize in such a way is enough, or we need to also, you know, give our own line there. Our line is simple. When you do that, you enjoy yourself. We need to do, to have organized the event itself and the atmosphere that people are enjoying themselves. People enjoy the fact that they're together in a nice way, supporting one another in a mutuality, that each one suddenly feels himself that he's a little bit open towards the others. Each one of us has a pleasant sensation that everyone around him are people who are open, cautious, nice, not hypocrites, that it's really good for everyone. They all feel good. I feel good with the others because they feel good with me. That's actually the togetherness. So from that, we can then talk about it a little bit. How come these things are so rare? Why can't we build such an environment? Or, let's say, in our neighborhoods, or even our building, or in the class of the children, look what's happening there, how far it is from the atmosphere we have here right now, etc. But continue in a nice way, not over-criticizing, but in a direction of building a society where all of us will feel like in this picnic. You know, why not? Why can't we do that? We'll have less stress. You know, is that bad for anyone? We'll have, fewer cursing and accidents on the roads. Is that bad for anyone? We'll have, fewer burglaries and other such events, or, having fights in schools or things like that. You know, is that bad for everyone? For anyone? You know, let's do it. You can check even economically how much it's going to pay off. If you elevate in just a few degrees the nice attitude between people, how much society is saving money? You can actually check that. Nowadays, it is all measurable. This is billions that you can free off for other things.
Just like the dosage you get through an experience. There's something I'm thinking, round tables or what?
Okay, so let's have such an experience. Organize people that will create such a party in their neighborhood or even in their city. Whether the city agrees or doesn't, you don't really need their agreement. The city is for them. It's not for the city hall. So just go out to the next park and do whatever you want there, on the lawn. What's the problem? Do you host anybody's permission?
You need somebody's permission. Isn't it yours? Just do it. Actually, in such a way, you don't depend on anyone. You can organize everything. You know, have a festival every week, do something. Games for children, everything. You can organize it, you know, with at the cost of pennies. No. 10,000-20,000 shekels, you rent all of these big, things, you know, do something for the kids. You can do everything. Who is going to come against you if a big audience wants it?
Last question. I wanted to ask about how much of the ideology should get in there? Workshops, round tables?
No. You can have that later on the lawn, among, you know, the other things, in a way that's not obligating. No, just do it. But the main thing is first to uplift the spirit. And later, the good ideology should spring from the example. So first the sensation, the example, then the ideology. Why is it good for us to be that way? When people start understanding by themselves that connection solves all the problems. By that you can create mutual help and everything, but certainly it has to come, you know, only out of nice, warm, good deeds without ideology. The common people get that. There are people who have, like, ideas, ideologies. For them it is important, you know, there's this question of the essence of life. What am I living for? And there are people who say, oh, great, look, there's something nice happening there on the lawn, I'm going to come and join it. There are people who say, why, what for, why should I have that, what is the reason behind it, what's going to come out of it, meaning that they insert wisdom, chokhmah, into the chassadim, and then to them you need to provide answers. But the common people, they just get it only through the deeds. Yes. Quickly.
I just want to strengthen what you're saying. We did these things in Purim and Cholon, Rishon, Rehovot. No words. People don't want the words. We just did activities for children, the local. People just want us. They want attention. They want help. We don't need any words. Had all kinds of activities, very simple things. And people loved it, and it was fun. And they want us to help. Nobody comes there. We're volunteering, and we said we don't want anything. We don't want money. We just came to give him a good mood, and it was great.
Yes, but they need to gradually get it that it's not just, you know, passing the time. They should also understand that what they now felt is the key, the solution to every problem in life. That actually you're showing them an example for how it is possible in general to improve our lives at all levels, in all the different planes, in all the different forms, all the different manners. That you need to add. If you next to such actions, you also hand them a small booklet where you explain it in a very light, nice manner, with maybe some additional songs inside, or that is already dissemination, a good dissemination. So you let them taste the means for good life in general. Yes.
Eduard Melo from Brazil is asking, should I disseminate Kabbalah and integral education? How can I recognize in the people who what to disseminate to who? I don't understand what he's saying. There's a great confusion still
in our students, the more farther they are from here in distance, it does affect them. I can see some are also stubborn. I'm not talking about him, but there are some that don't want to listen, but their nature is opposing dissemination. So they find all kinds of ways to justify themselves, so they think differently, or they interpret my words in a different way, in Bala Sulam's words. That's why there is no such thing of disseminating Kabbalah or integral education and so on. We came to a place where, to such a deficiency that this place is at. Like, if people want the wisdom of Kabbalah, they come here to our center. If we go out to the people, we usually go out to those who can better their lives at something. And then, well, let's say we'll call it integral education, but I'd say the wisdom of connection, right? That in that we show them that in a simple way of uniting, that even though it's not common or not convenient or not natural, but in such an action that doesn't threaten anybody, and it's so simple, doesn't demand any preparations or money or being excellent at something, that specifically in this way we can attain everything. The question, well, not the question. There's a problem, a little problem here, to explain to them why unity is such a strong means, that supposedly each one of us can use this means, but on the other hand, we can't. It doesn't work. Because the egoistic connection, we know how to implement unity, that in that unity, we know in a psychological way, like a patent we have, that it's our personal patent, that in unity we awaken a force, the force of unity, and it starts working and fulfilling us, give us a feeling and understanding, expansion in our mind and heart, and we start seeing reality differently. We can reach solutions to everything in life if we will try to work with unity between people in the correct way. Meaning, unity, it's like a plier, like a screwdriver. It's a work tool that with it you can solve anything. That is something we have to explain. Yes.
Do you think that indeed in all of these activities that we're doing in parks, songs and all of these things, it would be correct to also, you know, give away some CDs or give something else?
I don't know about a CD, maybe with songs that you deal with, maybe you're right, but we have to give out maybe like a booklet with a nice explanation and with like tips, nice tips, of course. They have to know that it comes from an organization and that our goal is to bring balance, warmth, connection, a solution to everything through unity. Unity is the solution.
In terms of the musical contents in such events that we do you think it's better for us to actually have songs or musical activities, and
I don't know, you're already asking me something I don't understand. The songs or activities? Activities, it's better because you're making them work and they like participating. Some don't like jumping, so maybe they can sit and sing. Some like running around and dancing, and it's according to the audience. But better if you give him a physical activity too. All my bones will say so. That's better than giving them a concert and they sit and look at you. Better if he's really like included in it. Okay?
Peter from the U.S. is continuing what you started talking about now. He's asking the following. On days, are days of just giving lectures to the audience, are those over? Should everything be based just on workshops and games and not somebody frontally speaking to people?
There's people who like lectures, but how many can you find? I don't know. I give lectures. Let's say last month I was there in Jerusalem. 2 weeks from now, I think I'm going to Jerusalem again for a lecture. And what came out of that? Who's going to be there? Maybe 20 people max will be new. And the rest are from the groups, and the groups just drag those 20 people, and that's it. People don't want it to come in the evening with traffic, come to a lecture. I don't think that is a... Well, you have to see. I don't know. But I see that it's such a huge effort to organize a lecture and like activities, it's that's the best thing. You also need a lot of preparation for that, but the result is much better. People don't forget it. They're included in it. They're willing to participate, especially if you do it with the parents, children, you know. So each one sees that he gains from it. His kids are playing nicely, they're happy, and so on. Yes.
What I wanted to say is, where I am, I feel that people are lonely. They want a connection. And the way to bring them to us, I think that to bring them to be with us, to get a lecture, have some connection games, but for it to be something that is recurring, permanent. Every week they can come and meet us. For example, I'm in Ramat Aviv. I see people, many people who are lonely, and they feel that their lives are just being wasted. They come and talk to me and they say, we want connection. We feel that we're by ourselves. All of those people, and there are many, many people like that, even in people who have a partner, who feel that they are by themselves, they're lonely, they don't have connection with other people. These people are very much afraid, and if they'll have a place where they can come to us, that place can really bring in many people that will come and connect with us. That's what I feel. If there was a room for...
Just lack of organization.
Lack of organization, that's right. We need to organize it so they can come to us, and once a week they can meet us, have a lecture, connection games, get a little bit of refreshments, but get an attitude so they know that they can come. People come and they ask me, what should we do in order to come to you? But if there was a place, something permanent, not some transient thing that you have once every 3 weeks or a long time, if there was something every week, we get together and we bring every person who feels lonely, who wants to join, connect, and there are many people like that.
What's stopping you?
We need to organize it. For example, in the Tel Aviv group, when I tell people, there are hundreds of people that join. They want to connect to us, and they can't, because in order to come to the Tel Aviv group, they need to go and have a seminar, a course, and finish that, and then they can join the Tel Aviv group. They can't just come and mix with us, be with us.
Why connect to the group?
Because they want to integrate with something, to be included in something, to be together with people.
I don't know. Something seems a bit confused here. Integrate in some group, your neighbors, what?
Not my neighbors, people who feel that they are by themselves, who want to come once a week and...
So you have to organize something on the lawn there once a week. That'll be organized, that they know that every week at such hour, afternoon, or in the evening, Friday, Saturday, whatever, they always have a meeting and to start drawing people over there and, I don't know, do something on the lawn. What's the problem? I don't know. Every place, you have to check how to do it, but it's possible. It's like having an open house. You just have to learn how to do it and do it. And that it'll be permanent, that's great, that's the best. Because every time you can show them more and more the power that you have in unity and the beauty in it, through them feeling good, you can start organizing them into have a force together. Because when a person feels good, why does he feel good? Because he's connected to others, and through our connection it can be better and better and better, and then together you become a force. It's all possible. I don't know. I can't go and organize the things, but in those organizations, I also don't understand what's so complicated, because everywhere, there's even a profession like that. There's professions that are about activating publics. Maybe we have to hire people. Bala Sulam says that in the last generation, he says that you also have to hire people that are experts to help publicizing the things, activating the things, and we'll put our part in there. We'll work with them. Yeah? Okay. Are we done?
Chris Dawson from London is asking the following. I know you said that we have to reach everyone, but is there a particular group of people that we need to focus on?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that there are groups that are prepared for us to come to them. There were a few times that I went into all kinds of groups. I gave them lectures, activities, conversations, and I didn't see any... Usually, no one has left the group and came to us. Once we went to Germany. Well, what are they called there? With our friend there, Thomas. I gave lectures there for a few days. He had this big convention to all his students. And they were dealing with all kinds of, meditations and... And that was their height, that's their state. They also work on unity between them and so on, but they're in a state where they have an ideology, they have activities, and that's how they feel good. I was in a few more places. Also, the Freemasons, I gave a few lectures. I don't think that organizations, it's good in a informative way that you come and you present your agenda and your goal, your organization and so on. But nothing is usually left from that except for them knowing you and you know them. Yes.
John from Chicago is asking, how is it possible to explain to people that the good feeling that they got by connecting with others can solve all of the world's problems? How can you explain that rationally?
The fact that unity between people brings them a force, that is obvious. You see it, army, a political party, any organization. That's how it's made. That's how it's built. It's a number of people that connect together. They already have a force. That's it. Especially at our times. I'm not talking of times of slavery and they were also back then afraid of people uniting. The country is always afraid. Oh, they're connecting. It's already wherever people are connecting, like more than 100 people, right away they have to check what's going on here. And what are they up to? What are they about to do? It's the safety of the public demands it. It's right. That's why everybody does it in every country. I also see that if I come and appear someplace, right away you see that it's like everywhere. It doesn't matter what country, what place we go to, it's under the control of the authorities, and that's correct. But here, by us coming to unity between us, we start stabilizing inside of us with the correct unity. We feel that in the unity between us, there's like a source of force, of a mind, of a new feeling. Listen. We need to try and feel this ourselves, that it is still, we disregard it, that if I don't receive an awakening, an uplifting, the feeling of the warmth, love, an amplified feeling, a bigger mind and intellect through the center of the group, so I'm not connected to it. That I like when, if I yearn, like once every few hours to eat something, in that way I have to feel an appetite, a hunger, to reach my group and to draw something from it. Not even come physically, but like to feel that center that I want to, that I'm thirsty, that I want to fulfill myself from it. If still you don't know, you don't feel, according to your questions, you don't feel what unity brings, so that's a sign we have to work on that. I'll just say one thing. It is not even the biggest Kabbalist, he can sit somewhere in, I don't know, some hiding place somewhere, I don't know, in his attic, alone, physically, emotionally, well, physically, whatever, but emotionally he won't be able to come out of himself. He needs to be connected, at least with a few students, or with equals, or with ones who are greater than him. And through the unity with them, he must extract his feeling and intellect of the higher degree, and in that way advance. Otherwise he won't have a life. He'll be still, as if he's dying, because life is has to be in such a endless state that doesn't stop. That's a must. That's why all of our work that we come to people and help them unite. It has to be. I'm not even talking about our groups, that's obvious. But when we come to people, we need to teach them to open, to discover that source of the source of pure water, of that they can drink from there, from that center of unity between them, that through that they'll get just that wind of life. It's a feeling that suddenly you feel that you're lacking it. Like a child, a baby who wants to be next to his mother again, and then he comes and he clings to her, and then runs to other things, and then comes and clings to her again. In that way, we have to teach them, to show them the source of life. And to our matter, if you hear, if there's people who don't feel that in the unity between you, workshops, all kinds of activities, that you feel that inner inspiration, not just happiness and jumping up and down in songs, but an inner inspiration that you have except for happiness. In the happiness, happiness is just the clothing, that in the happiness you have a feeling, a new feeling that is more focused, and a new intellect that is more focused, and then by it, them you have new scrutinies every time to your state and towards your next state, that it suddenly opens up. If you don't have that through your unity with the friends, you are still not in there. That is something we have to discover, and for that we have to teach others. That's the source of happiness, the source of life, source of livelihood. For us, it's also the source of scrutiny, because we're not just uplifting emotionally. We have to scrutinize these states. We have to participate in them in an aware way, how I awaken the dawn and so on. And that's why that spring that I find in the center of the group, that is a spring of force for spiritual advancement. And for them, it'll be spring of confidence, of a nice feeling, of a correct observation on relations in the family, in child education, and so on. Spring of life, of their own. But these things are very, very important. Without this point that I find a source of force for myself, force of life, of intellect, of powers that my eyes suddenly open up, that the path is like more understood to me, and I'm like stabilized in some state, and from here on, in that direction, everything is organized and nice, and have the forces and stability. It's all from the center of the group. I must receive that. Yes.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, the world Kli. We hear recently a lot about the topic of connection between us, that it is so necessary, and we have to go out and disseminate. The obligation to go out and disseminate, how much it can add to our deficiency, increase our deficiency. I hear questions from some of the friends that they think that we're doing it for Rav, for the greatness of Rav. That's why we're engaging in dissemination.
Doing me a favor.
And the question that came up in me,
I understand the inner rejection. That's our ego. We want to stay in our place. It's enough for me to read. Thank God I read something interesting that'll tell me about all kinds of things. What is this Rav pushing me in all kinds of directions that I don't want to move? It's all understood. That is understood. Now, can I look at myself and ask myself this: do I want it or not? I don't want to go out to disseminate. I don't even want to unite with the group. I want to sit and study, sit at a meal, sing a little bit, be relaxed, not with all these jumping around and things. It is more, it belongs to my soul. But along with this wise guy who explains all kinds of nice, pleasant things to me, he also has this thing in his head that isn't understood. He demands us to go out, talk to people, give them lectures, workshops, activities, that I'll dance with them, that I'll go all kinds of places, do all kinds of things. That's not for me. It's the wisdom of Kabbalah was always hidden, nice, silently. What is everybody jumping around suddenly in the center of the town? Here, there's the matter of the wisdom in the wise, in the sages, faith in the sages, that with my mind and intellect, I just can't do it. That if I understand that it's like I'm obligated to do it, Bala Sulam writes about it, Rabash writes about it, it is reasonable, but I don't want to do it. It's against me, so I have to scrutinize. Am I, even though I don't want to do it, and I have all kinds of excuses, together with that, I also have to say, but that's what they tell me. All of the Kabbalists of all the generations say that we're obligated to do it at our times. Our teachers, Rabash, Bala Sulam, and this Rav that I'm learning from, they all say that it's a must. This is the matter of faith in the wise. That the more I step on myself and do what they say, one against the other, you'll never agree. Never. If not this, you'll have a different problem. There can never be... You will never agree with the Rav in our work, in our spiritual work, of course. Because what he tells you, he'll always say things in action. It'll be unrational towards your ego, unwanted. And that'll happen for sure, every time. Even if you, in your mind, you can agree with it, but in practice, you won't agree. You'll do all kinds of things just not to do it. Your body will not want it. Yeah?
My question, Rav, is... I always follow you, I follow your approach, I follow the entire process of building awareness that has to develop and lead us to our vut. How much the ingredients of the personal responsibility, I mean, it has to, be expressed in a friend and group, taking care of the friends and towards the wider society. How much this... Recently, according to the conversations I hear with you, a lot of it speaks about psychology, how to build, how to put in the issue of personal responsibility with respect to what is around us in order to truly build this awareness that will demand of us so much to come out and out of disagreement, but by understanding that this is one of the things that can really lead us to Gmar Tikkun, the end of correction. How do we combine this issue? Because for some of the people, this is kind of secondary.
A guide means he's in a degree above you and shows you where to place your hand, your foot, your body, in order for you to be able to climb to the next degree. You don't know how to climb, where to place your hand and foot, how to go on to the next degree. Let's put it this way. You are in one side of the swamp and you have to pass on to the next side, the other side, and in this swamp, under the water, the shallow water, there are places you can put your foot and step by step shift and cross to the other side. But you don't see these places. And if you step in the wrong place, you're lost. It will swallow, devour you immediately. This is our ego, this life. This is the example that came to me. And the guide, the teacher tells you where to place your foot each time. And you must believe him. For if not, you won't cross. You will be drowned in the swamp. This is called faith in the wise, in the sages. He who crosses, if you're trying to do such a thing, certainly there are doubts and a person is in doubts. It's all true. This is the reason for this whole path, for you to acquire faith step by step. Exit yourself and go with a higher mind each time. This is how you cross. He who walks in such a way, he crosses. It's more luck than brains.
Thank you, Rav.
Well, that's it. Moving on maybe to the next part. Tzvika's bored, I see. All right, let's go on.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.